Thank you, Dr. Kuhls. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Carrie Sims as our next speaker, who's going to address intimate partner firearm violence. Dr. Sims is associate professor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Dr. Sims.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, how do I get this on here? Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So I'm going to talk to you about intimate partner violence and the American College of Surgeons partnership to screen and break the cycle of violence. So I have no disclosures. So the definition of intimate partner violence by the CDC is that it's a pattern of assaultive and or coercive behaviors that result in physical injury, psychological abuse, sexual assault, stalking, and intimidation. And it's committed by someone who is, was, or wishes to be involved in an intimate relationship or a dating relationship. Although they may not recognize it, it's really aimed at establishing control of one partner over the other. Intimate partner violence, though, is a real silent epidemic. We don't talk about it. And the statistics that I'm going to share with you may be eye-opening. Physical violence occurs in 4 to 6 million relationships per year. And 1 in 4 women over the course of their lifetime will experience intimate partner violence. So if you know 4 women, one of them has been abused, is currently being abused, or will be abused. 75% of those victimizations occur before the age of 25. So that's my daughter who happens to be in college, the medical students that I interact with, or the residents that I'm training, and I might not be aware of it. It's the number one cause of serious injury in women under the age of 45. And over 50% of female homicides are IPV related. Although race, educational level, socioeconomic status may influence the rate of IPV depending on which data you're actually looking at, they are not protective. And no one is immune from intimate partner violence. To put this into a little bit of perspective, if you look at all of the very common things that we see on our daily basis in terms of cancers, breast cancers, heart attacks, intimate partner violence really exceeds all of them. And this comes at a cost of over $6 billion per year, both in hospital costs and as well as life lost. So what is the link between domestic violence and guns? And I'll tell you, it is mortal. If you have a gun involved in your intimate partner relationship and you're at risk and there's violence occurring, you are 500% more likely to die of murder. And the number one cause of death in those intimate partner violent deaths is really firearms. In the United States, one woman is fatally shot by her partner every 16 hours. And some might argue, well, just get them some guns. It's protective, correct? No. And in a landmark study, they showed that women who went and got a gun were, in fact, 2 times more likely to die of firearms than the women who didn't have guns, and they were 15 times more likely to die of suicide. So women die, but there's a lot of collateral damage that we don't really recognize. And mass shootings, defined as more than 4 victims dying of gun violence in a single setting, 57% of those are actually related to intimate partner violence or family-targeted violence. And if you look at this like graphic here, I thought it was really remarkable. Those people who are in yellow are all people who are victims of intimate partner violence, and those in orange are actually related to family violence. And you can see that there's a lot of issues going on in terms of gun violence and death. If it's not a mass shooting, there's still a lot of collateral damage. And 20% of the people who are killed in the setting of intimate partner violence with guns are actually collaterals. Those are our family, the other partner that the person may be having, friends, some strangers. And importantly, it is the number one cause of domestic violence leading to police fatalities. So what is the ACS doing about this? Well, there was a statement of firearm injuries in 2013 that basically said enhancing mandatory background checks for the purchase of firearms to include gun shows and auctions was something that we could stand behind. And in fact, if there are universal background checks, it decreases the incidence of IPV-related homicide by nearly 50%. If you require, states that require abusers to actually give up their weapon because they've been charged with domestic violence, this will actually decrease the rate of IPV-related homicides by 14%. So for many of you who may know Dr. Sherilyn Gordon Burroughs, and if you don't, her story was a real wake-up call for me. She's a transplant surgeon, or was a transplant surgeon, who was murdered by her husband. And when I heard the story, I was stunned, because transplant surgeons in my hospital, they're badass. Nobody messes with them. And I thought to myself, if a transplant surgeon could be a victim of intimate partner violence, pretty much anyone could. And so the Women in Surgery Committee, which I'm part of, and the American College of Surgeons got together to set up an intimate partner task force in order to really address intimate partner violence in our community, in surgeons and in the people that we work with. So we revised our statement of intimate partner violence, and this came out in the bulletin in 2018 in October. And basically it added a list of resources that you could go to, but also was more inclusive and really mentioned that intimate partner violence happens to us as well. It happens to your colleagues, and it happens to your partners and your students and your trainees. It also came out to support legislation and policies that enhance judicial and law enforcement tools to combat intimate partner violence and prevent violence and improve services to those victims. We also developed an intimate partner violence toolkit. This will be online shortly, and basically you can go through this and find out how you can either help yourself or help a colleague. Specifically, finding out how do you recognize intimate partner violence? How do you determine if you are in danger? Many of the people who died don't recognize that they're actually in danger, and if there's a firearm involved, you are in danger. It is the single most predictive risk factor. We're also developing a whole set of slides so that you can have grand rounds to discuss intimate partner violence, because it may not be a topic that you would normally talk about at your grand rounds, but we're going to encourage you to actually talk about this and provide you the tools to do so. The ACS Fundamentals of Surgical Curriculum is also going to be including an intimate partner violence scenario in order to help our residents not only diagnose intimate partner violence in their patients, but in themselves and in their colleagues. So the future work through the ACS and the Women in Surgery Committee, we're going to be sending out a survey to the members. It'll be anonymous, it'll be deployed in November, and it will be asking you to talk about intimate partner violence, your own experience, and your thoughts on it. We'll also be putting together policies regarding it and programming events in the future in order to really address this amongst our community. Thank you very much for your time. Oh, and last October, if you didn't know, is Intimate Partner Violence Month. And if you or someone else is experiencing intimate partner violence, this is a terrific online website. You can actually log into it, and say you have to escape really quickly, you can log out, and it leaves no trace on your computer to actually show that you've been surfing the internet about intimate partner violence. I'm happy to take questions at the end of it, and thank you very much for the opportunity.